call the Wednesday, June 17th, 2015 Taney County Board of Adjustment hearing to order. First item on the agenda is establish a quorum.
Okay. Sean Pingleton.
Present.
Tom Gideon called.
Okay.
And Tony Mullen has contacted us as well. Mark Weiss.
Here.
And Alan Lawson.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Okay, before we go any further with our business, I want to let everybody know that we've got three public hearings tonight, the Highway 248 Group, Harold Plott, and 7M Holdings, LLC. Since we do only have three here tonight, you have the option of coming back and being reheard on a different night, since there are just three out of the five of us here. That's up to you. We just want to make sure we give you that option to do that instead of that. We can hear it tonight, but we just want to let you know there's only three of us out of the five. So if everybody's interested to go ahead and hear it tonight, we will. So what about for Highway 248 Group? You want to hear it tonight, Steve? Okay. Harold Plott, setback variance. Do you all want to go ahead and hear it tonight? And the 7M Holdings, LLC. Want to hear it tonight? Okay, very good. Most of the time people do, but we want to give them that option when there's only three. So, okay, next item on the agenda is explanation of public hearing procedures.
Okay, I'd like to welcome you this evening to the June 17th, 2015 Board of Adjustment public hearing. The Board of Adjustment hearing process is governed by the provisions of Missouri Revised Statutes, the Taney County Development Guidance Code, and the adopted Board of Adjustment bylaws. Public hearings are held for each variance or appeal request which is filed with the Planning Department. At this time, I wish to place the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B. The staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C. The Board of Adjustment bylaws is Exhibit D. The Taney County Road Standards and the Taney County Road Standards is Exhibit E for all cases to be heard at this public hearing. A staff report will be read for each appeal and variance request, followed by a video and any questions for staff. The chairman had indicated, if you wish to comment upon any of the requests, you must sign up at the front of the room on one of the three sign-up sheets. Anyone wishing to speak either for or against a request must be sworn in and will therefore be providing sworn testimony. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to provide sworn testimony, your name will be called by the Board of Adjustment chairman. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the board, not to anyone in attendance in the audience. All speakers who are not a party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes unless additional time is granted by the chairman. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Ashley. The next item on our agenda is the reading of our governing statutes. Would one of you all like to do that? I know it's usually you, Mark. I'm left out of that somehow.
The Board of Adjustment shall have the following powers, and it shall be its duty. 1. To hear and decide appeals where it is alleged that there is error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of county zoning regulations. 2. To hear and decide all matters referred to it or which it is required to determine under the zoning regulations adopted by the County Commission as herein provided. 3. Where by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or topography, or other extraordinary or exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under Section 64.845 to 64.880 would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties to, or exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property as an unreasonable deprivation of use as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege to authorize upon appeal relating to the property a variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships, provided the relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zone plan as embodied in the zoning regulations and map.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Next item up is a presentation of our exhibits.
All right.
First one is Highway 248 Group, right? And we I know we have a representative here. I saw him earlier. So if you'd like to proceed.
This is case number 2015-1A. The request is an appeal of the planning commission denial of a Division 3 permit. The applicant is the Highway 248 Group, LLC, Dan Ruta. The representative on this is Steve Redford. The property in question is located at 1818 State Highway 248, and it's shown here in blue. It's a little difficult to see, but we'll zoom in here. It's, again, 1818 State Highway 248, the Branson Township, Section 30, Township 23, Range 21. And we've got a pictometry view of the property. These photos are from March of this year. From the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. The request, the applicant, the Highway 248 Group, LLC, is seeking to appeal the Planning Commission's denial of Division 3 permit case number 2015-10. The Division 3 permit application sought to add a number of specific uses to a permitted pre-owned auto sales facility. The background on this and site history, currently this is an approximately 6.36 acre meets and bounds described tract, and it's being utilized as a pre-owned auto sales facility, but it's also serving as a sales center for a number of additional products, including portable buildings, canine pens, poultry containment systems or chicken coops, and carports. For a number of years, the property served as an outdoor sales location for Ben's Decorative Lighting. However, the property in question remained vacant for a number of years upon the closure of Ben's Decorative Lighting. On September 16, 2013, the Planning Commission approved Division 3 Permit 2013-16, authorizing the Highway 248 Group, LLC, represented at that time by Mark Fitzhugh, to develop Area-Wide Motors, a pre-owned auto sales facility. In January of 2015, a mobile construction office, which is pictured to the right, now utilized as the office for Music City Motors, was moved onto the site without first obtaining a Division 2 permit. Soon after the placement of the mobile office, the representative contacted the Planning Department office via phone, verbally indicating that he would be obtaining a Division 2 permit after the fact. He further indicated that he would be connecting the plumbing within the existing restroom facility within the mobile office to an NS61 water tank, as pictured to the right, proposed to serve as a holding tank, and also an existing well for water service. Per the provisions of Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services rules and regulations, an NS61 water tank is not to serve as a wastewater holding tank. An NS61 tank is approved strictly for the storage of drinking water, never sewage. On February 5th, 2015, Division 2 Permit 2015-15 was issued to the Highway 248 Group, LLC, authorizing the placement of the temporary sales office for Music City Motors. During the administrative hearing, Scott Sterrett read the Division 2 permit decision of record. Jarrett and Steve Redford were specifically informed that per the conditions of the original Division 3 permit decision of record and federal, state, and local law, they were not to connect the existing restroom within the mobile office to the NS61 tank or make a connection to water. Per the provisions of Section 6F, holding tanks of the Missouri laws, accompanied by Department of Health and Senior Services rules governing on-site sewage systems, it reads basically the use of holding tanks is generally discouraged and their interim use should be limited to situations where construction of satisfactory treatment and disposal systems will occur within 1 year. On March 17, 2015, A stop work order was issued to the Highway 248 Group, LLC, for all ongoing activities associated with the establishment of the pre-owned auto sales facility and also the portable building sales located at 1818 State Highway 248. Because the facility was being operated in violation of a number of conditions of the original Division 3 permit, and also in violation of the laws governing disposal of sewage, upon inspection of the site, the planning department staff discovered that the sewer line from the restroom within the mobile office had been connected to the NS61 water tank, and a water connection had also been made to the existing on-site well, basically prompting the planning department office to issue the stop work order. Condition number 4 of the decision of record for permit number 2013-16 states that if an on-site restroom facility is established or a connection is made to water, the property owner shall connect to Branson Municipal Sewer. If area-wide motors should employ more than 2 persons, an on-site restroom shall be provided. On April 1st of this year, the stop work order was released upon the disconnection of both the water and the sewer lines, and also the removal of the NS61 water tank, and also finally the receipt of the Division 3 permit application for the additional sales uses. On May 18th of this year, the Planning Commission denied Division 3 permit 2012. That's not a correct case number, 2015-10, by the 248 group, seeking to add a number of uses to the permitted pre-owned auto sales facility. The applicant sought the Planning Commission approval of a number of additional sales uses, which included portable buildings, boats, motors, and trailers, ATVs, personal watercraft, utility tractors slash trailers, poultry containment systems or chicken coops, canine pens and carports. With 6 out of 9 Planning Commission members present, the Planning Commission voted to deny the Division 3 permit request by a vote of 3-2. The Planning Commission based its decision to deny case number 2015-10 upon repeated indications from the representative that the Missouri state law regarding on-site sewage systems would not be complied with. The general description on this, Music City Motors, of course, consists of the mobile construction office, which is utilized as a sales office, a gravel parking area being utilized for the display of the pre-owned automobiles, portable buildings, canine pens, chicken coops, and carports on approximately 6.36 acres, on this approximately 6.36 acre meets and bounds described tract of land. In review, the applicant, the Highway 248 Group, is appealing the May 18th decision of the Planning Commission to deny Division 3 Permit 2015-10. This Division 3 Permit application sought to add a number of sales uses to the permitted pre-owned auto sales facility. The specific uses, again, are portable buildings, boats, motors, and trailers, ATVs, personal watercraft, utility tractors and trailers, poultry containment systems or chicken coops, canine pens and carports. The application does not enumerate the reasoning for the appeal request. The applicant basically states that he's requesting the following to add the items for sale as per the request to PNC. The Planning Commission approved Division 3 permit 2013-16, the original Division 3 permit, specifically authorizing the development of a pre-owned auto sales facility. In fact, condition number 9 of this Division 3 permit states the following. It states no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials other than automobiles. Thus, the storage and sales of additional items other than automobiles required the applicant to seek the approval of an additional Division 3 permit application. Division 3 permit 2013-16 was approved by the Planning Commission with a condition allowing for the property in question to be served by a Portageon facility even though the property in question is traversed by an existing Branson Municipal Sewer Main. Please note that during the public hearing processes for both the Division 3 permits, the City of Branson requested in writing that the applicant make connection to the existing municipal sewer main. The sewer main in question is shown in green on the property. Condition number 4 of the decision of record for Division 3 permit 2013-16 states the following. If an on-site restroom facility is established or a connection is made to water, the property owner shall connect to Branson Municipal Sewer. If area-wide motors should employ more than 2 persons, an on-site restroom shall be provided. This condition has been placed upon the Division 3 permit based upon the information that was provided by the representative during the initial public hearing process. During this public hearing process, it had been repeatedly expressed by the representative that the auto sales use would be temporary. The pre-owned auto sales facility was to exist only until such time that the property in question was sold. The representative had further indicated that area-wide motors would not be served by either water or a restroom facility. The representative stated that the applicant did not wish for the pre-owned auto sales facility to grow beyond 1 or 2 employees. The mobile construction office, which is currently serving as the office for Music City for the Music City Motors business, contains an existing restroom facility. During the Planning Commission public hearing for Division 3 case 2015-10, the planning staff strongly recommended to the Planning Commission that if the Division 3 permit were approved, that a condition be placed on the decision of record requiring that the existing restroom within the mobile office be connected to water and sewer service in order to provide a restroom for both employees and customers. The staff also strongly recommended to the Planning Commission that a condition be placed on the Division 3 permit application requiring the applicant to connect to the existing Branson Municipal Sewer Main located upon the property in question. Porta-johns are only to be utilized during construction or for short-term events. They are not an appropriate method of wastewater disposal for a full-time business. During the public hearing process, the representative repeatedly indicated that the applicant will not make connection to the existing Branson Municipal Sewer Main located upon the property in question. The property in question is traversed along the southern portion of the property by the Taney County Public Water Supply District No. 3 water main. However, the representative indicated during the public hearing process for the original permit that water would be supplied, that the business would be supplied with water via bottled water. All of the cars were to either be kept clean on site via a mobile washing service or were to be taken off site for cleaning. The representative further indicated that the pre-owned auto sales facility would not be served by either a restroom or water. The current representative has since made connection to the existing on-site well. The well water is currently being utilized in the detailing of the car automobiles on site. The project received a total score on the policy checklist of a negative 16 out of a maximum possible score of 33. The relative policies which received a negative score consisted of sewage disposal, emergency water supply, and use compatibility. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves the appeal of the Planning Commission's denial of Division 3, permit case number 2015-10, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, the Western Taney County Fire Protection District shall submit a compliance letter to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. Three, a current copy of the Missouri State Dealership License shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Four, an on-site restroom facility shall be established. Five, the applicant shall make connection to the existing Branson Municipal Sewer Main located upon the property in question. Six, a 25-foot wide vegetative buffer shall be maintained between the Music City Motors business and the adjoining residences to the north. 7, parking shall be provided in compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. 8, normal business hours of operation shall be Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. 9, this decision is subject to all existing easements. 10, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. 11, prior to the issuance of Division 2 certificates of conformance, the developer shall first present a certificate of occupancy from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District to the Planning Department office. And 12, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. On this case, I'm basically just utilizing the same footage from the public hearing for the Planning Commission.
Okay.
It was a short enough period of time. I didn't really see a reason to refilm. And we start out with a pretty quick 360 here of the property in question. The existing municipal sewer main is essentially located at about the bottom of the hill here.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ashley. We have one person signed up to speak tonight, and that's Steve Redford. Steve, if you'd like to come on up, and we'll swear you in real quick. Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Tell us about your project.
Well, the first thing we need to do is back up a little bit, because for whatever reason there's been some verbiage conveniently left out of this.
Okay. Are you wanting to go to a particular slide?
Yeah, you need to go back to where it says porta potties.
See if you can find that, Bob.
Because originally, on the original decision of record, it had holding tanks in parentheses porta potties. So that indicated to us that a holding tank was, you could put a holding tank in.
Okay.
Because a porta potty is nothing but a holding tank. Now, when they made the determination that the tank we was putting in wasn't for sewer, might have been an issue, but we weren't told that. We were told you got to take the tank out. Okay? That's the first thing.
Okay.
The other thing, when the statement was made here that we was connecting to water, all we done, there's an existing water well on the property. Okay? Our interpretation of that was if we hooked up to Taney County Water Supply District number 3 would trigger that condition on the statement of record.
You're talking about was it hooking up to the Branson sewer then at that point? Is that
well, yeah.
Was what you're referring to?
No. Okay. We never considered hooking up to the Branson sewer because the current property owner won't do it. That will trigger annexation. And that would trigger the city of Branson shutting it. You know, we may have to do whatever. They won't allow a temporary or a portable sales office. Okay. But I'll just back up a minute. If you'll look at that on the original decision record, I want to make that correction. Because all you had was porta potty, Bob.
what's the best way? I mean, here's a physical copy of the original decision.
Why don't you let Mr. Redford see it first?
Is that not correct? Is that not what it says?
Because that would what they would have filed, right?
I mean,
that decision record has to be filed within 120 days. You refer to that to make sure that. I mean, that's what he would have filed, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I think at that, I don't recall. I think at that time, Mark Fitzhugh may have.
Whoever the representative was.
Yes.
Right. I know that Steve's handling this now.
Yeah.
Sounds like Mark was earlier.
Yeah, it says a self-contained wastewater containment system, parentheses port-a-john.
What does it refer to that, though? I was under the impression
self-contained
by looking at that,
wastewater
that would only be for temporary construction and not permanent, in other words, less than a year.
No. They did, when this was approved, they approved this for a self-contained wastewater containment system, parentheses port-a-john. There's no limit on time on how long this is going to be here. This didn't have a implosion date on the division of record, the decision of record, okay?
And he is correct on that original decision of record.
Okay.
Now, our position is, actually, we shouldn't even be here. Actually, under the state statutes, which we all know that Taney County doesn't follow anyway, but under the state statutes, the county development code is required to have specific uses in specific zonings. Otherwise, the state held in the lawsuit that we was in Stone County, which you guys are probably aware of, the state held that if it's not listed uses in a particular zoning district, the ruling by a planning and zoning board would therefore have to be capricious and arbitrary, because it would be up to the board's opinion of what should go there. Specifically, in the realm of planning law, there is no difference between selling used cars, portable buildings, and so forth. Otherwise, think about it. Somebody could come in here and make application for a lumber yard. And maybe that's the definition he used. Well, now, would that include plumbing if he started selling plumbing material? Or, in fact, if he went to sell portable buildings, would that require another Division III zoning? We don't think so. We think the train left the depot when this commercial use was granted by the county the first time, and really makes no difference what kind of commercial use there is here, because the county, again, under the state statutes are clear, cannot do spot arbitrary zoning and not have an underlying zoning map or uses in that zoning district. This is the very thing that we brought up in Stone County. It took 4 years, if you guys remember, on the lawsuit. As you know, the judge wouldn't rule on it after the trial for obvious reasons. We had to go to the Supreme Court and compel the judge in Stone County to make a ruling. He ultimately ruled in our favor. He declared the development code of Stone County invalid. Then they went back and voted in a new development code later by countywide vote. So I'm not making any threats. I'm just saying that we shouldn't be here in the first place. Our intention is to sell this cars and buildings and stuff until the land sells, which could be next year, it could be next month, it could be 5 years. Okay? We have unhooked the holding tank. It is true that we still use the water well system to wash cars with, just like you would in your front driveway of your house. We don't have a commercial car washing operation there. And hopefully that the issues here are really not, in our mind, is not clearly we was probably in the wrong by hooking up the holding tank because the tank was wrong. But I'll tell you this. If we would have known there was a specific tank you had to buy to put sewage in to have it pumped out, because in our mind that was, in our mind as far as health issues, that was a healthier situation than having a porta potty. You could flush a stool into a holding tank, but we were told no holding tanks. And we were told it's the wrong holding tank, but we was also told no holding tank. And clearly it says a holding tank was permitted. So, you know, I guess that's an issue we don't want to take up. So anyway, we unhooked it, and we unhooked the water to the building. We've contracted to have a porta potty. We have a porta potty there. We have a service that pumps it out. And we occasionally wash off cars there. So I don't even think we should have had to apply for Division III. At the very least, it should have been an administrative acknowledgement in the file that the property owner come in and said he was going to add some uses. I mean, clearly, this type of mechanics running through a planning and zoning commission is fundamentally wrong in this county. And it's got to stop. It's got to stop. Telling somebody they can put a beauty shop here, but not a barber shop, or you can put a Auto O'Reilly store here, but you can't put a used car lot, is just ridiculous. But that's what the commission does every day. And it's wrong. The county commission, not the planning and zoning commission, but the county commission won't bite the bullet politically and do a zoning map. Now, Bob will argue the county has a zoning map, has an east and a west. I guess maybe that'll be defined that that's a zoning map. I'd argue that that's not a zoning map. But think about it, guys. The county commission, the elected commission, is supposed to create a zoning map and uses within those districts. For example, take any major intersection in the county, a state highway, whatever intersection with a stop sign. And let's take, for example, that one corner has a C-store on it. For example, a good point would be over here on East 76. Is it M that goes down to the lake there? And there's a C-store there. The other corner is vacant. Under the current rules of this county, there's not a zoning map that already has that established as commercial use. Now, anybody in their right mind would say that that adjacent corner is a commercial use. But no, you got to go through Division III hearings and all that. That should be done administratively by the administrator. It's a waste. So if we had a map that had those indications and those obvious things, wouldn't have to go through this. We wouldn't have these issues. And the only reason it hasn't been done is because the commission doesn't want to tell the people that vote in this county that, well, that part of the county is low-density residential. If you want to do something higher density in those that 1,000-acre parcel of the county, you've got to come to Division 3. It makes it harder to get that rezoned, not easier. So they don't want to bite that political bullet and have this zoning map and actually get voted out of office because they got it, if they have a certain amount of their clients. That
that's a question.
Are you?
Yeah, that's
we're on that topic. I'm just I didn't want to leave it, but on what you just said about that C store, the guy across the street, I would hate to be that guy, and all of a sudden I'm zoned commercial and have to pay that kind of tax. So what we have is the county, that guy wouldn't feel like the county's doing him justice.
Well, let's think about this, though.
Before we go too far, we are off topic.
We can talk about
that. All right. Let's not get into that.
So you've established that temporary could be 5 years. Because what...
Hang on just a second, because I've got a bunch of questions, but I want to make sure that you've said everything you want to say before we start grilling you.
I'm ready for questions.
Okay. Alan, go ahead.
Temporary could be 5 years.
That's what you said. Months to 5 years.
Quoting what they said in the minutes, I mean, during this public hearing process, it's been repeatedly expressed by representatives also would be temporary, but you're saying 5 years. So we can expect for 5 years you will not hook to city water, or you don't want to hook to city sewer, all because you don't want to be zoned into the city. Correct?
The owner of the property, which is not me, okay, will not sign a voluntary annexation agreement that's going to be required to tap into that sewer. Because, and we won't get into it here tonight, but this intergovernmental agreement that the county's entered into with the city of Branson is also questionable. Having their building standards be extended out past the city because the county built sewer lines and give them to the city. That's essentially what they've done. And now the city said, well, if you're going to give us all these sewers, then that guy a mile out there is going to abide by our rules. Okay, so, but you're essentially, no, we will shut the business down. Two people will lose their job if we have to hook onto city sewer. We won't do it. And I could kind of beat around the bush about that, but I'm just telling you that's absolute truth.
So are we here today because you see there's an error of law, perhaps?
Oh, there's absolutely an error. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's in our opinion, you know. I asked at the commission, what's there, 9 members on the Planning and Zoning Commission? 6 were here, 1 abstained, 3 voted against it, and 2 voted for it. So, you know.
Did the chair have to vote to break a tie then?
The chair didn't vote.
So there wasn't an abstention? It was 3-2.
The chair just okay. did. The All chair right. just did.
I
just vote.
I want to make sure when I saw that earlier that caught me.
But whatever, there was only
either
five
way.
Votes.
Well, that's the chair doesn't vote unless there's a tie.
Okay. All right.
And that here we do.
Okay. Okay.
Any other questions?
Well,
maybe
I've got to throw it out there, and you guys discuss this with me. The Planning Commission based its decision to deny this case upon indications from the representative that the Missouri State law regarding assets. On such sewage system would not be complied with. Do I get the vote on sewer things? I don't know if I have that. You can talk to
you. Okay. Well, they already had approved that.
Yeah.
It already had been approved for a porta potty.
But you have to comply with a sewer. Would you be willing to get a proper holding tank
Oh, absolutely. We'd put a holding tank in, and we'd have a certified company come and pump it out. That's not, you know, that would be no problem at all. But keep in mind, the original decision of record, their denial said just what you repeated. But the original decision of record is not changed by their denial of this use. This use is already of record.
Okay.
So when they denied these additional uses that we were told we had to make, they denied those additional uses, not the original decision of record was not denied. And which in the original decision of record allows for a holding tank or a porta potty.
Bob, you had something to...
Now, this is my opinion on this original decision of record. The reason porta potty was put in parentheses is we were referring to that term as a porta potty. The problem we have with having a holding tank on the site is Taney County has a contract with the state Department of Health and Senior Services, and it's my understanding that the state will not allow our department to issue a holding tank permit when there's a sewer main located upon the property, because the intent of a holding tank is to provide for sewer service until sewer gets to the property. But in this case, sewer's already there. There's already a sewer main basically that runs right here, right across the property.
So maybe I missed it. It could have been on there. There was a lot of stuff on there.
There is.
So normally, when back on my other planning and zoning days, we would often see approval from Taney County Sewer District. Was that on there somewhere? Or since the city is on that property, it defaulted to must hook up to Branson Sewer? I'm just asking the question to make sure I'm clear on what all the options are.
Well, and really, Mr. Redford was correct. The initial Division 3 permit was approved, and my understanding was that there was an approval allowing for the wastewater needs to be served by a porta potty.
Forever? I thought it, at least what I was reading there, and again, there was a lot, was that there, was it was presented to be a temporary situation.
That's a recommendation.
Right,
yeah,
so they hook up the water.
There really was never, and he is correct on that, there was really never a time frame. And here's the thing, our department doesn't issue a permit for a porta potty, but we do, the environmental division of our department now, we've got this contract with the state. We do issue permits for septic systems and holding tanks. And essentially, the state will not...
allow
the county to issue a permit for the holding tank, exactly, because we've got this existing sewer main on the property.
And
go ahead.
We're just fine with the porta potty. I was just making a point about the holding tank. If that's a violation of the county, according to state law, to put a holding tank in there, but it does say in the division of record, can put a self-contained system in, which, you know.
Well, I don't know if that was the same in 2013 as it is today. I don't know. You're talking about today, but in 2013, was it essentially the same?
I mean, I know what was discussed was a port-a-john, basically, or port-a-potty.
Okay.
But, you know, the city... and, you know, we all know how the city of Branson is, okay? And so the city has sent these two letters to the county because that's all about sales tax. Used car lots, portable building sales create lots of sales tax. And so we think that's just a sales tax issue, not anything more than that. So.
Okay. I've got some comments, but before I get to my stuff, see what else you all have. You may cover what I'm going to ask.
I want to make sure I understand this. When you got denied, it was for your add-ons to the car lot, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, he keeps referring back to the 2013, but we're really hearing the 2015 denial.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
It's approved for the car
lot. And I'm stuck on sewer, too. This is what I've got to... get separated.
Yeah, we are not required to hook up to sewer with the original decision of record.
Okay. But that's also not what we're, I mean, I know they're tied in, but we're looking at the 2015 decision.
The county commission turned down the initial uses because we weren't hooked up to sewer. But they granted the original use with a porta potty or a holding tank. Okay.
So now you're wanting to go back. You're going back to porta potty and want the additional uses.
That's essentially yes. Right. That's correct.
Mark.
Well, the one thing that I needed to hear was the error of law in any order, and I think Mr. Redford is addressing the error in law about it being capricious to not allow something like a portable, you know, building or a go-kart or whatever the motorized, you know, vehicle is. It's so similar to a used car lot that my concern is it was an error law. And porta potty, it's a shame that it becomes a long-term solution. But due to the county's situation of not being able to issue permits, it's the only one that I see.
Well, there's another. Hook up to sewer.
Yeah.
That's a decision for the owner to make.
Correct.
You know, that's really not a concern of ours, whether the owner wants to hook up to the city sewer or not. Yeah. It's our concern is what is the best for the...
But that's not why he's here. He's here and he needs to show that there is an error of law or not, why he's here appealing. And it'd be nice if he hooked up the sewer, but it's not happening. That's simply somebody's decision. But in my opinion, I think he's found an error in the law.
Okay. Anything else?
Not for me.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Redford. I agree with a lot of what you said. We agree a lot about the issues with the zoning. I think that Bob could attest to that I've talked to him many times about working on that and making it how it ought to be. So let's just get that out of the way. I agree with that part of it. I am concerned, and I wrote down the same thing that Alan had, and that you said it earlier. I just want to make sure you said that we're wanting to sell this property, which I get. It's in a great location. Next month, we might sell it. Might be 5 years from now. My biggest concern that I've got is the might be 5 years from now. We have to, you know, I have a difficult time looking at that going, a porta potty's okay on a business like that, which I do agree the number of customers coming by, whether it's a used car lot or whether it's, you know, the use is very similar. Not enough that it would concern me on that. It would be classified the same if we had a typical type of zoning. But where I'm very concerned is with the sewer. And I've heard you, but it's not my concern whether the owner is willing to hook up or not, in my opinion. That's the owner's decision.
I can see that.
So that's where I'm hung up. But as far as the error law, I agree on that. But I also feel like we could add additional, you know, recommendations to it. But that's my opinion. That's why there's three of us. So do you have anything else to add?
I don't think so.
Okay. Do you guys have anything else to ask Mr. Redford?
Mr. Redford, you saw the suggestions from staff. Should this be approved?
Can you pull that back up?
Vote for approval called for you hooking up to sewer. Yet you stated that's not acceptable.
Well, our position and you know is simply this. And I asked the Planning and Zoning Commission the night that they denied the request. I said, are you going to let me go through the appeal process? And pending that, then pending that, we would go ahead and have the other stuff on there that we're selling until this is resolved, the Board of Adjustments and so on, okay? And because you know, if they were going to take the position that they were going to do a stop work order on the additional uses, then we felt like our only resolve would be to go to circuit court, get a TRO against the planning and zoning, and stop them from that. Okay, but just so you guys know, it makes little difference to me tonight. I think that we are in the right, because I agree. I think there's been an error of law. But just so we get this out in the air, and you don't ever think that I've done anything without underhanded here, is that we are preparing litigation, and we are going to sue the county and get this development code fixed. And that's a given. It's long overdue. In fact, I've been asked by other citizens in the county. One of the commissioners asked me when we was going to do that. But I'm not going to do it by myself this time like I did in Stone County. We have four other property owners, and we're going to file it as a class. And this will be resolved. It'll make your job easier, quite frankly. And so it needs to be fixed. If the situation that you just talked about earlier, let me put it in a different vein. If you bought that property across from the C-store as a 5-acre residence, okay, and there was an acre lot out in front of you, and somebody come in and you thought it was always going to be residential, the way the county is now, they could come in and spot zone that acre. They could put a liquor store in there. See, that's the other side. Or let's say, for example, that you got 5 acres here that you got a house on, and there's 5 acres that adjoin you, and it's zoned agricultural. Spot zoning would allow that to be a mobile home park. You see, the planning, the development code today in Taney County actually doesn't have any teeth. Just about anything that the Planning and Zoning Commission does, somebody can take it through Board of Adjustments, through Circuit Court, and win. So there's no teeth here. It needs to be fixed. I am pro-development code. I think it's essential. But I think that if I buy a piece of property here and build a $500,000 house on it, I ought to have some assurance that the 5 acres next to me, there won't be 18 mobile homes put on.
I'm sorry, we're digressing just a little.
I know, and that's where I'm. That's
and on most of that, I could nod right along with you.
Yeah, okay.
So,
well, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, discussion. I think we've all kind of had our say. So if there's nothing else to discuss, I would entertain a motion.
I'd make a motion to approve the appeal 2015-0001A.
As presented with all staff recommendations?
That's the question I asked Mr. Redford, if he'd come back up with your permission.
Yeah. Yes, if you want to come back up. I think he's got a question for you.
See the item on, I know it's.
Because there's item five.
Okay, item five. The applicant shall make connection to the existing Branson Municipal Sewer Main located upon the property in question.
Well, we wouldn't agree to number four, we wouldn't agree to number five, and we wouldn't agree to number eight. That's absolutely unlawful, number eight is.
Yeah.
Hours of operation is absolutely black and white about that, okay? So, four, five, and eight.
My suggestion.
There's more. By the way, just to be, I think the rest of them are, but.
Okay, we have no problem with those, of course.
I would ask that 4, 5, and 8 be removed in my motion, if I can do that in the same motion.
I believe sure you could strike.
I think you can strike those. Yeah.
Okay. My motion is to strike 4, 5, and 8.
So we have a motion.
I will second that.
Okay, we have a motion and we have a second. I'm going to ask for discussion because there's something I want to say. After all the talk where we digressed a little bit about the traditional plan, the traditional zoning, I believe that in traditional zoning there still would be the requirement to have permanent sewer on anything that's not temporary, which 5 years is not temporary. So that's what I believe. So that's any other discussion?
Only how do you define temporary?
Well, 5 years is not temporary. And they're not set up as temporary. They're not building the structure. You know, they brought in a mobile building for the use to keep that permanently there for sale. So to me, that's not temporary. That is permanent operations in a temporary nature.
I understand what you're saying. To me, it's still very difficult.
He's limiting himself to 2 employees. That's fairly temporary as far as expansion and growth.
When we strike that, does that take that out?
Yeah, the 2 employees would
is no longer in
applied to the original decision of record.
But the new one doesn't.
But it
doesn't
the new one,
apply. I could have 20 employees.
Well, the new one. This doesn't apply to auto sales. So I think that if they're not going to do auto sales, they might be able to go beyond it. But as long as they're doing auto sales, which is probably the most profitable thing they're doing, that would still remain. We're not modifying in any way, shape, or form the original decision of record. It stands today. Correct, Bob?
My understanding on this, and I've spoken with the county attorney on this, and it was actually his recommendation that a new Division 3 permit be required because the original decision of record, and I don't have it in front of me, but it had verbiage that spoke to the fact that this would be limited specifically to auto sales. I believe the Planning Commission's thinking on this was that if it was limited very much to auto sales, it was going to be served by a porta potty, it was just going to have 2 employees, the use would be somewhat limited.
Well, the one thing I did notice on the temporary aspect of it, a for sale sign is on the property today.
Yes.
And you know, that tells me it is planned to be a temporary, you know, use. And you know, for some, temporary could be 5 years, and for others it might be, you know, 6 months. But being that it is actively, you know, on the market, there's a day that's going to end, and probably a higher and better use for it. And if anybody comes along and wants to put in a restaurant, they're going to hook up the city sewer in a minute, and you know, utilize those facilities.
Okay. Any other discussion? I call for a roll call vote then. Mr. Lawson?
Yes.
Mr. Weiss?
Yes.
Mr. Pingleton's going to vote nay. Okay, it passes. Oh, no.
No.
I'm sorry, it doesn't. There's 3 of us. That's right. 3 out of 5. I'm going to vote nay. I'm really concerned about the sewer portion. Everything else I agree with.
One final comment, Dan. Are you going to... Do we need to go to circuit court for a TRO, or are you gonna hold this case pending until we can go through litigation?
Next step.
Well, that's our right.
I mean, you do have the right to appeal this to the circuit court from here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
And the bylaws also allow for a reconsideration, a request for reconsideration, or a request for rehearing as well.
To us or to?
Yes, to the Board of Adjustment.
Which, you know, unfortunately had 3 here tonight, which is why we asked.
That's fine.
So, you know, if you wanted to go that route too, you could first to do that.
And this will all be enumerated in the decision of record as well.
Yeah. And I apologize because I forgot there was only 3 and we do have to have 3. We have to have but again, it's not the uses. For me, it's strictly down to the sewer. So that's my last comment. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Next item on our agenda is Harold Plott, setback variance, and we do have a representative here. Somebody? Right? Okay, very good.
This is case number 2015-6V. The request is a subdivision regulations variance request. The applicants are Harold and Sharon Plott. The representative is Mark Plott. And the property in question, we've got it shown here. This is actually not correct. I apologize.
Yeah, the property is not correct?
Yes, I've got an incorrect address on this. I'm sorry.
So it's 400 block of Early Lane?
Yes.
Is that right? And Hollister?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, the property in question is located in 400 Early Lane. It's in the branch. Let me make sure. Sorry about that.
Scott Township, Section 14, Township 22, Range 21.
Okay. The request, the applicants, Harold and Sharon Plott, are requesting a variance from the provisions of Article 8, Section 2G, driveways of the Taney County Subdivision Regulations in order to allow for the creation of an additional tract of land less than 10 acres in size to be served by a private driveway exempt from any construction standards. This is the roadway in question or the driveway in question. The property in question is a number of parcels which comprise a total of approximately 211 acres, according to the assessor's information, recognized as a Missouri Century Farm, established in 1906. Basically, all of the properties are in some way owned by the Plott family. The applicants, Harold and Cheryl Plott, are requesting a variance from the provisions of Article 8, Section 2, of the subdivision regulations, basically, again, in order to allow for the creation of an additional tract of land less than 10 acres in size to be served by this private driveway exempt from any construction standards. In review, Article 8, Section 2 of the subdivision regulations states the following. For administrative minor subdivisions, a private driveway exempt from any construction standards will be allowed to serve no more than three tracts which have no public road frontage. And in this particular case, Early Lane currently provides access to both the Gobbler's Knob Mobile Home Park and also all of the individual tracts within the Plott's property. Harold and Sharon Plott are now wishing to deed approximately 3 acres, and it's my understanding it's about this location. They're wanting to deed off 3 acres or give 3 acres to their granddaughter and her husband to allow for the construction of a single-family residence. However, in creating the additional tract of land, that tract would be provided access by Early Lane, which already serves more than the three tracts that the subdivision regs allow for a private driveway. Therefore, the applicants, Harold and Sharon Plott, are requesting a variance from those provisions of the subdivision regulations in order to allow for the creation of an additional tract of land less than 10 acres in size to be served by a private driveway or Early Lane exempt from any construction standards. This approximately 3-acre tract of land will be given to the granddaughter to allow for the construction of the couple's first home. And again, it's my understanding, I'll let them clarify, but it's my understanding that it's somewhere approximately this location here. It would be difficult, if not impossible, for the applicants to improve the portion of Early Lane, which currently provides access through the Gobbler's Knob Mobile Home Park, just simply because they don't own any of this. The applicants have indicated that they have absolutely no intention of developing the Century Farm. They strictly wish to create attractive land that will provide a home to their granddaughter and her husband. The applicants have indicated that they do not believe that the granting of this variance will cause any detriment to the public good, nor impair the integrity of the zoning regulations or plan. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this road variance, or, and it should say subdivision variance request, I apologize, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, approval of a variance from the provisions of Article 8, Section 2G of the Taney County Subdivision Regulations, allowing for the creation of an additional tract of land less than 10 acres in size to be served by an existing private driveway, early lane, exempt from any construction standards. Second, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Road Standards. And third, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. One thing I did want to point out that I don't really say in this is the reason I keep mentioning 10 acres is the board may be aware of this, but if under our current subdivision regulations, if a property is subdivided into 10-acre tracts or larger, it's looked upon as being exempt. However, in this case, all of the tracts that have been deeded to other children or grandchildren were 3 acres in size, and so the applicant's seeking a variance wishing to basically continue that with this additional grandchild. We've got just a couple of short videos here, and basically this one just takes us into the Plotts property, and yeah, we've just basically driven the property. It's a fairly large piece of property. So,
saw a creek. Benita Jigger fishing pole again. Thought so. She always has her fishing pole. Yeah.
And this is the signage indicating that it's a Century Farm. Speed this up just a little bit. And basically the road's a pretty standard dimension throughout the existing road or lane. And took just a really quick video going out of the property. This is early lane through the mobile home park as well, and basically the same road or
so. It's hard surface until you get to the
exactly
farm entrance.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we have three people signed up to speak tonight. And the first person is Candace Plott. Is that right?
Yeah.
Candace, you have something to say to us?
No.
You didn't look like you did. Okay. So you're good. Okay. All right. Harold Plott. Come on up, Harold, and we'll swear you in real quick.
One thing that I've been...
Hang on just a second. Let's swear you in real quick.
Pardon?
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Oh, I do.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if I didn't remember you having down there. Through that mobile home park, that park used to be part of that farm, and my sister and brother-in-law built that mobile home park. But I have a deeded easement through that. You have that down.
Okay.
But I'm kind of... amazed in some ways that planning and zoning goes this far that I can't deed my granddaughter a couple acres so she can put her a mobile home on there or a house, whatever she decides she's going to put on there. But it's farm has been agriculture all the time, and it's not been, I do not in any way want to be subdivision, period. So that's for it's farm. And, you know, immediate family, all three of my kids live on the farm, and like I say, it's a century farm, so.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, not a thing.
Okay. Well, I'd like to make one comment. You know, I understand completely the planning and zoning issue and the concern that you've got. I was actually involved in part of that when I was on the planning and zoning side, and it really isn't for people who are requesting like you, but unfortunately we've got developers who do like subdivisions, and to circumvent our rules, they were deeding 3-acre plot to get around our rules, so we had to do something to set something up, and unfortunately sometimes it catches other folks that are trying to do things like you're trying to do. So that's why it seems far reaching to you when we have the rules in place for.
And I can understand how there's need. We know that.
So that's why you probably see it that way, but I understand. So okay. Anything
so
else?
You say yay or nay.
You're not there yet. I'm not there yet. Okay. If that's all you got to say, we might have some other questions for you, so stay close, or maybe we'll have questions for Candace, too. You never know. So we have one more signed up, Amy Plott.
I'm actually really good, unless you have any questions for me.
Amy's really good, Candace is really good, and Harold's prepared to answer all our questions. Okay, so questions? Questions?
I don't have any questions.
So if you'd like to make a motion.
I'm making a motion. We approve variance 2015-0006V, utilizing the staff recommendations 1, 2, and 3.
Have a motion. Do we have a second?
Yes, you do.
Have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call vote. Mr. Lawson?
Aye. Yes.
Mr. Wise?
Yes.
Mr. Pingleton votes yes. See, I'm not always a fuddy-dud. Motion passes. Thank you very much. Okay, next item on our agenda is 7M Holdings, LLC. Pretty sure we've got a representative here tonight. Okay?
Okay, this is case number 2015-7V. this is a road standards variance, and the applicant is 7M Holdings, Mark Miller. And we've got a couple of representatives here.
We're going to stop you right there before you and take a short break. Okay. I apologize. We're going to recess for just a minute.
Okay.
It's been a long night for us already, 7:15. So.
We are back. Okay. Okay, Bob, please. Wow, look at that.
I can hear you now.
Okay, so please continue, Bob.
Okay. This is case number 2015-7. It's a road standards variance, and the applicant is 7M Holdings, Mark Miller. And I'll try to be a little more diligent about speaking into this. It's located off of Thunder Ridge Estates Drive, which is off of Bee Creek Road. And we've got the property highlighted here, and we'll zoom in on it here. And essentially, this is the undeveloped portion of Thunder Ridge Estates. It's in the Branson Township, Section 16, Township 23, Range 21. The applicant, 7M Holdings, LLC, is requesting variances from the provisions of Section 9, Road Width, and the Appendix, Roadway Thickness, of the Taney County Road Standards. The background on this, on September 18, 2006, the Planning Commission approved Division 3 Permit 2006-48, authorizing the development of Thunder Ridge Estates, which was to contain 43 residential lots and 17 duplexes platted into 34 condominium units on a total of 27.06 acres. On November 14, 2007, the final plat of Thunder Ridge Estates Phase 1 was filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office. Upon the administrative approval of this by the planning administrator, creating a 24-lot residential subdivision. And so, excuse me, this is the portion that has been platted. This is Phase 1. On November 1st, 2007, Division 2 Permit 2007-89 was issued, authorizing the construction of the two duplex buildings shown within Thunder Ridge Estates. These two condominium buildings were originally approved as two of the 17 duplexes that were to be held in condominium-style ownership. It does appear in 2007 that the two different duplex lots, it appears, were sold by meets and bounds descriptions and not platted. And so we've actually got these two units that have been sold to individuals just via deed. Both the platted and the unplatted portions of Thunder Ridge Estates were foreclosed upon by the bank. In August of 2013, 7M Holdings, LLC, purchased a number of the platted lots, but also purchased the remaining unplatted portion of Thunder Ridge Estates as well. The focus of this road variance request basically is the unplatted portion of Thunder Ridge Estates. On November 20th, 2013, the Taney County Board of Adjustment approved a request by 7M Holdings, LLC, seeking a series of setback variances and also seeking a right-of-way width variance from the Taney County Road Standards. At that time, with 4 out of 5 board members present, the variance request of 7M Holdings was unanimously approved by the board. On November 27, 2014, the planning administrator completed a review of the final plat of Thunder Ridge Estates Phase 2, and this is Phase 2. And this second phase would create an additional 6 lots within Thunder Ridge Estates. Phase 2, if I could, Phase 2 essentially is this area here. And so the only other plat we've received at this time, it is this plat for Phase 2. Upon the culmination of this review, an email was sent to Eddie Wolf enumerating the additional items that would be required in order to ensure compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and the subdivision regulations. Item 2 of this email states the following: the portion of Sunrise Villas, Villas Drive, excuse me, Rainfall Circle, serving the newly platted lots within Thunder Ridge Estates Phase 2, shall be built in compliance with the Taney County Road Standards. Upon both a site visit and consultation with Randy Hayes, the Taney County Road and Bridge Administrator, it was determined that the portion of Sunrise Villas Drive slash Rainfall Circle serving the newly platted lots within Thunder Ridge Estates Phase 2 will require a 31-foot roadway width as measured from top of curb to top of curb. This road surface also lacks the final asphalt wear surface. On October 6, 2014, the Taney County Commission held a road variance request hearing concerning the roads within Thunder Ridge Estates Phase 2. The applicant, 7M Holdings, slash Mark Miller, requested a road surface width variance and also a variance from the requirement for the final asphalt wear surface for the unplatted roadways within Thunder Ridge Estates Phase 2. During the hearing, there was some confusion as to whether the request involved only the roadways as shown within the Thunder Ridge Estates Phase 2 or the roadways within the entire unplatted portion of the development. The hearing was postponed until a later date in order to afford the County Commission an opportunity to conduct an on-site visit of the development and also to allow the County Commission an opportunity to obtain a legal opinion regarding the matter from the County Commission's attorney, Frank Cotty. On October 28th of 2014, Mr. Cotty provided the Planning Administrator with a legal opinion regarding the subdivision plat appeal process. It was Mr. Cotty's opinion that RSMO 64.830 provides that once a proposed plan of subdivision has been rejected or amended by the County Planning Commission, the proposed plat may then be approved only by a two-thirds vote of the County Commission, and the reasons for the approval or failure to approve the plan shall be spread upon the records of the County Commission. Essentially, Mr. Cotty indicated that it would be the County Commission that would hear a plat denial appeal. But then on January 8th of 2015, Mr. Cotty further clarified his opinion, indicating that statutorily it was his opinion that a road variance request would be heard by the Board of Adjustment, not the County Commission.
So you're explaining that's why we're hearing this.
And so that's why this is being heard by the Board of Adjustment. It was his feeling that essentially the Board of Adjustment would be the entity that would hear road variance requests. The applicant, 7N Holdings, again, is requesting both roadway width and roadway thickness variances, both. In review on this, per the provisions of the subdivision regulations, any subdivision of land requiring road improvements requires said improvements to be constructed in compliance with the Taney County Road Standards. Therefore, any subdivision plat that is filed with the Recorder of Deeds Office requiring road infrastructure after the adoption of the subdivision regulations requires those roadways to be built in compliance with the road standards. Article 8, Section 2 of the subdivision regs states that unless otherwise approved by the Planning Commission, all streets shall be public streets, and public streets shall be designed and constructed in accordance with the Taney County Road Standards. And thus, that's essentially the reason for the request today. The applicant, 7M Holdings, is requesting variances from the provisions of roadway width and also roadway thickness. The applicant has requested that the Board of Adjustment consider this roadway variance request in two separate votes. The first vote, or the first issue that the applicant wanted to request, was the applicant is seeking a variance from, like I said, the roadway surface and roadway thickness requirements, specifically for the portion of Sunrise Villas Drive or Rainfall Circle, serving the proposed lots within Phase 2. And, of course, that would be this area, basically. The roadway has already been constructed. It is lacking, from my understanding, the final wear surface. The second thing is the applicant is also requesting a variance from the roadway surface and roadway thickness requirements for basically the remaining unplatted portion of Thunder Ridge Estates. Just a little history on this. The current Taney County road standards were adopted by the Taney County Commission on July 16, 2009. However, a separate set of road and access standards were actually found at that time within Appendix L of the Development Guidance Code. In July of 2012, and so those two sets of road standards conflicted somewhat at that time. On July 19, 2012, the County Commission adopted an amendment to Appendix L of the code book, basically removing the road and access standards. And the current code book just references what's referred to as the Taney County Road Standards now. The road standards define high-density residential as any two-family dwelling on a parcel of less than 3 acres, or any three-family or larger multifamily structure, or the part we really care about on this one is or a subdivision with lots smaller than a half acre. Therefore, since the Thunder Ridge Estates is considered a subdivision with lots less than a half acre, it's viewed by the road standards as being high-density residential. Per the provisions of Section 9, minimum right-of-way and roadway widths of the road standards, the minimum roadway width for a high-density residential street is 31 feet. High-density residential streets are also required to be curb and guttered. The first thing the applicant's really requesting again is both a roadway surface width and thickness variance, specifically for this section of roadway that's being platted within phase two or the proposed phase two. This portion of of the roadway in question is an existing road. It's been curb and guttered. It's approximately a 20-foot wide driving surface, and it does have curbs. The existing curbs are likely not built in compliance with the current road standards, and also the final wear surface has not been added to this roadway or to these roadways in either phase one or phase two of the development. The applicant's requesting a variance from the road standards, basically allowing for these existing roadways to serve the proposed six lots, or looks like five actually. The immediately south of this area, so this area to the very south here, lies the two existing duplexes, and also this area was originally approved as a duplex portion of the development, which initially was to be held in condominium style of ownership. As I think you know, in Taney County, it's been generally accepted practice to allow for the platting of a condominium style ownership with lots that do not necessarily meet the setback, road frontage, and or minimum lot size requirements, because each of the lots is held, each of the units is held held by a condominium association as common property. However, due to the difficulty in obtaining bank financing for a condominium project, the applicant at this point is proposing to plat the remaining portion of this development as single-family homes held in more of a traditional form of zoning or of ownership. On November 20th, 2013, the Board of Adjustment did approved a request by 7M Holdings from the Taney County Road Standards. Per condition four of the Board of Adjustment decision of record, it stated that approval of a 20-foot right-of-way width variance, allowing the right-of-way width to be platted at 30 feet within the duplex portion of the development as enumerated on the survey from Eddie Wolf. And this is actually the survey in question. I zoom in on it on the next slide. But it was my understanding this portion of the right-of-way was indicated on that survey as having a 30-foot right-of-way width. The portion within phase two was indicated as having a 50-foot right-of-way width. So it was my understanding that the variance that was granted at that time was basically a variance allowing for this specific portion of roadway to be platted with a 30-foot right-of-way width versus a 50-foot right-of-way width. A copy of the, and of course the applicant is requesting a variance now for both the road surface and the road thickness. The applicant has indicated that if he's required to widen the street within this specific area, that it would conflict with both the right-of-way width variance that has already been granted and would also create a topographical conflict. He has further indicated that by developing this area as single-family residential versus duplexes, that he's greatly reducing the traffic volume that will be handled by the roadway in question. In the now in the remainder of the unplatted portion of the development, the roadways have not been completed. You've had some grading work that's been done, but really in this portion of the development, you don't have any roads that have been completed. However, they have installed the water, sewer boxes, the electrical services, basically the majority, if not all of the utilities, have been put in place along this future roadway here. The applicant has indicated if the variance is not granted, the property question will be unbuildable due to the location of the existing utilities and the topography of the site. And here's some photos just driving down this area that's been graded. You can kind of see a storm box here. This shows where the current roadway ends. We've got some video footage of the same thing showing the location of some of the existing utilities. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this road variance request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. Excuse me. First, approval of a 6-foot roadway width variance allowing the existing unplatted portion of Sunrise Villas Drive and Rainfall Circle to remain as is with an approximate roadway surface, and that's supposed to say width, including curb and gutter of 25 feet, as measured from outside of curb to outside of curb, allowing for the platting of the phases of the development served by the roadways in question. Second, approval of a roadway depth variance, allowing for the existing unplatted portion of Sunrise Villas Drive and Rainfall Circle, to remain as is without the final 2 inches of minimum plant mix bituminous pavement or the wear surface overlay, allowing for the platting of the phases of the development served by the roadways in question. Three, approval of a 6-foot roadway width variance, allowing the remaining unplatted portion of the roadways within Thunder Ridge Estates to be constructed with an approximate roadway surface width, including curb and gutter, of 25 feet as measured from outside of curb to outside of curb. Four, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Road Standards. And five, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office.
Stop right there for a second, Bob, because I want to clarify something that you brought up earlier in your report. It sounds like to me that the request is really for two separate requests. One is number one and two, and then, of course, four and five, and the next one will be number three, four, and five.
That's correct.
So they're really not together. I mean, we've asked to consider those two separately.
That was my understanding, is the applicant asked if the board was willing to, if the board would really undertake these in two separate votes.
Well, I'd rather you to hear you go through it once and twice, so I'm all for that. Not that I don't like hearing you talk, but Does anybody have any? I don't have a problem with that. Do any of you have a problem with three? No. So in a way, those are going to be, we're going to look at 1, 2, 4, and 5, and 3, 4, and 5
exactly.
as your recommendations anyway.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's the way I've tried to separate this. It was a little confusing because you've got some roadways that have been constructed. You've got other areas where there's infrastructure in place, but no roadways in place.
Well, we're a long way from being there, but if they were to be approved, when it come out, I would want them separate, not together,
okay.
since we're voting
okay.
separately. Okay.
And we've got a video here. And what I did is I started on the paved portion of the roadway. I probably should have pointed to the map kind of where I'm at. But we're actually, we're driving toward...
Looks like you're right before Rainfall Circle or whatever
yeah.
that is, right? One of those two.
And so we're really headed toward that second phase of the development, mm-hmm. or we're really close anyway. These are the two large duplexes that have been split out, that have been built. So really this area that we're in here is kind of this phase two area that they're wanting to plat now. I think it's an additional 5 lots. I believe initially I said 6. This was going to be the condo portion of the development. And this is the area where the board has already granted a right-of-way width variance. But it was in this specific area toward the end. These were some of the topographic concerns that the applicant was talking about.
I thought there was supposed to be a hammerhead turnaround at the end of that, too. I didn't see that.
And it does not currently exist. And we've turned back around. We're driving up toward the portion of the development where the roads haven't been constructed. And don't know how bad this is going to bounce around, but I basically just drove through it. I didn't know another way to really demonstrate this other than just to drive across it.
Benita wasn't going to get out and...
But you can see, I mean, it's essentially been cleared. There's some rock, but they have put some of the infrastructure in place as well. These are actually platted lots up here in this, not really showing it, but... And you can see a fire hydrant here. And some of the storm boxes. And like I said, I don't know. Eddie Wolf may be able to may be able to speak in more detail. I don't know exactly. These houses, of course, they would all be platted lots up above, but I don't know precisely where those property lines are or lot lines are. You can see some of the electrical boxes that are in place and. But again, all of this has been platted in this area. And we're almost to the end. When it's completed, this roadway will actually connect to the adjacent subdivision to the north.
Okay. We've got several folks signed up to speak tonight. The first person on our list is Eddie Wolf. He's a representative, and we may bring you back up after everybody talks to you, Eddie, to answer some other questions.
Would you go to the preliminary that was approved by the...
Oh, yeah, I got to swear you in. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
And
you know, this is how it was submitted to the planning and zoning, and I think Sean was on the board when this was done.
I was.
Because the question we had at that time was the buffer that we left along that south end to protect against those residents.
Yes.
That was an item. But you see, it's presented there as a whole to be basically two different ownerships, but to be almost one development by the way it'd be developed. Well, Tom Caruso done Deer Creek up to the north, and I was looking for a laser pointer. Did we not?
It's.
Is it? How do I? Oh, okay. Always have trouble with this thing.
Everybody else does too.
I got her figured out now. Just getting older and dumber. But anyhow, this is Caruso's from right here north. And this road here is completely constructed from here all the way through back up to Reinhardt Road. And then we come down here to phase one, which has got this road constructed all the way down to about right there. Then this main road comes in and this road's constructed down here. And you've seen the curbs coming all the way through here back over to the two buildings there that are condominiums, or supposed to be condominiums. And what happened there is they were built and never was platted because the bank took them in foreclosure and they were sold as meets and bounds parcels, which has happened all over the area. But with the roads in here being built, you know, we're talking about a section from right there to right there that has not got pavement or curb on it. There. This road here has got pavement on it and rollback curbs to about right in there. The road stops about 75 foot short of where that hammerhead was supposed to go. And we're still planning on doing a hammerhead there. It's just that it's before the bank took the property, the developer didn't have it in at that point. He stopped the road short of it. Is what it is in there. So, you know, we've got the normal roads in here. It was all constructed to Taney County standards at that point. Well, all the utilities, sewer, water, storm, electric, cable, phone, everything's in the ground. And all the way up through here and all the way through the whole development, I mean, it was all put in. It's just this road never did have the base put in with the curbs to finish it up. And then when I came in here back, it was Dave Clemenson's last meeting that he was at. I asked for 53 variances, and he asked me if it was Christmas. And I told him it's got to be Sunday. And the board granted me 53 variances on this development. Bob had them outlined where they were very easy to understand. We thought, with Mark Miller and myself talking to Bob and different people, we thought we had everything on this development to where we could proceed with it. So then when I do the plat on phase two, we're back in the same boat again. We can't do anything because it was our understanding that everything in here, as much as constructed, could be go ahead and be finished the way the roads were originally in here and not go the 31-foot back-to-back curves. And it looked pretty stupid to go out there and put a 31-foot back-to-back curve from right there to right there and then hit a curb the other size, or come down here and put 31 foot here, and these are all the old normal ones. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And so anyhow, the Board of Adjustment, they granted right-of-way variance there where the condominiums are going to go, which we're going to decrease the density of those, and those are going to end up being single family. We're not going to put condominiums in there. And then up here on phase two, we decreased the density. Here we took out like three units instead of having, because this was a duplex, we got a single family in there. I think the original one had a couple duplexes there. And there's a sewer easement that goes right through here. So we've cut the density by a lot on this south side. Just the fact we're going to residential. But, you know, we're asking to be able to finish this out It doesn't make sense to go in there and move all those storm boxes, all those sewer lines, all those water lines and services, all the electric pedestals, basically the whole infrastructure, to build 6 more foot of road. It isn't feasible economically. I mean, all that's there. You know, it's not Mark that did this. 7M's holding, I mean, Great Southern repoed it from the original developer, and he got what was left, and this is it. I mean, all he's trying to do is to work with what's there to go in and finish out the subdivision. And every time we've took a step forward, we've took two back because something else crops up. And we want to just put this to rest to where we can go in there and build single-family homes that are affordable in the area and finish the subdivision out. Then the subdivision would be a big enough subdivision that it could sit there and maintain itself with the homeowners association, where there'd be more people paying dues to help maintain these roads and everything like that. The way it is, it's very difficult for a homeowners association to do that with a small number of homes that's in there. But that's all we're asking, is that we do not have to build the 31-foot back-to-back curbs on those main remaining roads. That would mean you'd have to go in there and tear out the road in phase two to actually build the 31-foot and move all the utilities. It just doesn't make sense.
And thickness. Did I also see that?
What he's talking about thickness there is the coat on top of the existing pavement in the overcoat.
Yeah, it's the exactly like Eddie said, it's this 2-inch wear surface.
The pavement
basically
there is just the overlay.
Okay, and we've got Mr. Hayes here. I'll ask him about that too. So, anything else?
Not right
for
now.
Anything now for Mr. Wolf? We can come back to him.
I have a question, Eddie. Is it a cost problem? Is that why he doesn't want to do the overcoat on the road? Do you know?
From what Marcus told me, that this is platted all up here, and that is the road that is owned by the, it's basically the ownership of the homeowners association, and he doesn't feel like he should go in there and repave everything.
Oh, it's just not that section. It's the whole road.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm confused. I thought we were talking about the section between.
Want it all paved.
But that's not the request. That's not what we're hearing today, though.
Well, yeah, you're correct. I mean, the only thing that we can
there and then the other portion
exactly is really anything that's unplatted, anything that's already been platted. We don't have the authority to require anything in addition.
Now, Mark's not here to speak for himself, but I'm going to say this: to me, it's more important to get the reduction in the 6 foot than it is arguing about that 2 inches. You agree with that, Chad?
Okay, that's for now. That's.
I mean,
I'm glad to hear that, because that's where I was having a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, it was intended to be to the top of that.
Sure.
That edge of that curve.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Next person we have signed up to speak is, I'm going to try, Stephen Blodgett. Close? Okay, come on up here and we'll swear you in. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
I've got more questions than comments. The question I had is, where do we...
Just direct them to us, Mr. Blodgett.
We have a homeowners association. We're not organized under anything like that right now.
Okay.
They're talking about not overlaying the road. And they've tore it up like you wouldn't believe from all the trucks and stuff going in and out there. They just come by the other day patching in some of the holes that has been knocked in there. This spot up there where they're going to go across the creek, if you guys build that, we're going to have more
traffic. Just direct your comments towards me.
We're going to have more traffic going across that creek and just people out snooping around, then you can't believe.
Okay.
Now, we're up here in this area here, right, you know, we got some of the original houses that was here. Now, they're not going to do nothing to that, correct?
That's not part of the request today at all.
But they are going to do this down and around in here?
That would be phase two, part of the request. Yes, there are two.
Yeah, this area.
The houses that are there, they got pictures of them. They're way up in the air, the ones that are originally there.
Uh-huh.
Are they going to put a retaining wall to keep the mud and stuff coming down on that street, or what?
I don't think that's currently in the staff recommendations.
I mean, they build a street.
We're still going to hear from our road representative, too.
I'm
so maybe we
cover
all sure.
The cases for us that were here tonight. So, and like I said, that little shot across the creek is what I'm kind of worried about. Cause, you know, people come in, drive around. You don't know if they're looking for a house to buy or looking for a place to break into and stuff. Because, you know, a lot of us don't live around here year round. So.
We only have the one road.
Yeah, we got one road in, one road out, and that's so.
Okay. Anything else?
That's all I've got right now.
All right.
I might come back if.
Well, what we'll do is we'll take everybody's questions, right, and we got the representative here to help answer some of those, and we'll deal with some of the others. Next up, Ronald Gardner.
I'm not good at this.
Neither am I. I'll swear you in real quick. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
On that, like Steve was saying, when that they do that road,
uh-huh,
and there's only one way, one way in and one way out, we get traffic in there, and sometimes you don't know who it is. And sometimes you get bolts come through there. And the traffic is heavy, and there's young kids, and people have their animals out walking them, and people walking, and they need to slow down in that area. But as far as they're doing that, I would like to see them do something correctly instead of doing it poorly. Because the water runoff, when it runs off, they don't rebuild any kind of retaining wall or anything up there to help hold that water back or help hold that mud back. It's just going to, and your house is going to go right down with it. Because they need to do something to protect it.
Okay.
And that's about all I got to say except for the street.
Okay.
I worry about that street too, because that street was, they just have a thin layer. Just like Steve said the other day, they decided to come out and fill it up. But we had holes like this, you know.
Just to clarify, is your concern more the depth of the street or the width of the street?
Both. The thickness of it.
The thickness, but as far as the width and people passing, I just want to make sure I'm clear on what you're saying.
Well, the street is narrow in the first place, which it is. It's, you can pass on it easily, but if you park cars out on the street, then you got to stop and wait for the other person to go by.
Okay.
But if you, what I want to know is if they're going to do something about it or if they're just going to leave it the way it is. Because the street is not thick enough in the first place, not for semis or trucks or anything heavy, for any kind of heavy equipment.
Okay.
I think that's about all I guess.
All right. You did fine. You got a question for him? Okay.
How long you lived there?
Since October.
Since October. And would you expect this developer to pave the top portion of your road?
Yes.
Yeah.
We were told it doesn't have pavement.
It's this far from the top.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Do you mind me questioning you on this?
No.
Okay. Who told you this?
Well, when we bought the house, we found out about it, about different homeowners there, and also, I think the realtor said something about it.
Okay.
And when you purchase property, you expect the stuff to be done.
But was it under bankruptcy at this time?
No, it was not.
Was it the same owner that is developing it now?
I have no clue.
I think it sold you the home, I think, is what you're asking, right?
Pardon me?
The yes, person
no,
who made
no, it. The homeowner sold me the home.
Okay.
He lived there for 3 years and he's gone.
Okay. But the people who are proposing this new development are not the ones that built your home or sold you your home, correct?
Okay, I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay. Anything else you want to add, Mr. Hunter?
No.
Okay. Thank you. We'll get back to you. Okay. Chad Ellis. Chad, come on up. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Okay.
I'll just wait until, is there somebody else? Or is that?
No, Chad, go ahead, and then we've got Mr. Hayes from the road department.
Okay.
So go ahead. Sometimes you might be able to answer some questions further asked.
Yeah, and
so.
I didn't know. Mark, you know, when he bought.
Why don't you tell us who you are so we make sure.
I'm Mark's. We're building these homes, the future homes, and I'm a realtor here in town.
Okay.
And I'm with Mark. He bought this property through me.
Okay.
Or, you know, I was a realtor representing. But what they're doing is
I think it's we're just other end. I'm sorry.
We need a new pointer. That thing's confusing.
But see, none of this is in question. This right here, right?
Right. That's and we're not hearing the stuff that's in phase one.
I need to answer their questions out there.
We're gonna work on some of that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll just let you go.
Okay.
I can help answer some.
Okay.
Daddy,
so. Okay. Hey, any questions right now for Mr. Ellis or? Okay. Okay. Next person to speak is Randy Hayes. You swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Mr. Hayes.
Okay. Bob, can you go back to the original?
Yeah.
I think it is the original.
Oops, sorry. I'm going the wrong direction. the original development or? Okay.
And I don't know if you can answer, that's kind of small to see, but the original platted roadways, what they plan up there, what was the width on the existing subdivision to the north? I mean, it plays into what to make everything coincide and be consistent.
Let me see if I can, I may be able to blow this up.
The one called Spencer, I believe, is the one. Isn't that where that connects into?
Yeah. The horse, what do you mean, Brady? He's asking where it goes into the Spruce Up subdivision.
Oh, there where they join together?
Yeah, the width right there where this plant,
I think, all the way through 50 foot.
50 foot?
I mean, what is the back to curve to back to curve? Do you know what that
is? It should be the same as it is in there. Yeah.
Okay.
All of it was done by the same people.
Okay, I didn't know if that was all the same.
I don't know if he's done his. I don't know. I'll be honest. The actual roadway width, you mean?
It's the same as.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Now, if you can go to the road standards. Okay. And then on this, the thickness is kind of important if we look at that top view where you got the asphalt, the pavement, and the base underneath. And there's a reason for all that, and that's typical construction. But on the first part that he's platted, and we reviewed that and looked at that, and they're correct, where you've got the curb already in place, the pavement already in place, and all they lack is that wear surface. I can understand the variance for a width there and everything. You don't want to rip all that out just to gain a few feet when they've already, I think, granted all the variances as far as that, and I'm fine with that part. The part that's not really much done, they do have infrastructure in there. Width variance isn't as big a concern as thickness, because there you get stability with the road. And one of the concerns I think I'm hearing from some of the developers, even on the existing, and the developer may not have anything to do with the first part, he's concerned with this part down here, is when they don't put that last thickness on there, the drainage doesn't work properly. You get failures to your road, and somebody's got to be able to finish that road before you turn it over to the homeowners, and that's one of the reasons, part of the reasons the road standards come about, is because of various issues like this. The developer finishes the road, and then it's done, completed. And if it's built right, then it's stable. This section down here, is the thickness variance to not put the finished surface on this section here?
That is up for debate.
Okay.
Part of the question tonight.
That was my understanding, Eddie.
Because if you look at the video, you'll see the reason why it's not working correctly. The drainage can't get out of the road. You see all the debris and all that. There's a reason you put the finish on there, even before you build the homes and all that. I mean, if they're stable, they're going to hold up all vehicles. So,
I would call that question one as far as that goes. I mean, that's part of the question tonight on whether we're going to. So, just to clarify on that portion that you're talking about right there, you're obviously the width is what it is. You're more concerned about whether they finish the thickness off.
Finish the finish layer on that, and then the same thing with this going down and complete the, I think they had a hammerhead platted down there.
They did.
Completing all that as they got it, but don't vary from the thickness. I mean, they're unless you already got the curb in place, and most of that just like the wear surface. On the other section, I mean, width may be a concern when you already got the infrastructure as far as the drainage box and sewer and all that in there, but I don't see a proven a variance on thickness. You can still comply with the thickness.
Okay. And just to clarify, that doesn't do anything for what phase. I know a lot of folks are here for that other portion, and that's really not.
We're not
even really looking at that tonight.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
you think that needed to be done or not, that's not the part we're talking about tonight.
Right. Yeah. I mean, what they're asking for is what this other part. So.
Okay. Okay. Are you? Yeah. Stay close. Have anything else you need, Dan? Do you guys have anything you want to ask Randy right now? Okay. Stay close. I'm sure we're going to be asking some questions back and forth, Mr. Wolf.
I think we can make this real simple, and satisfy Randy's concerns and the developer's concerns on phase two, that right here, we'll go ahead and put that finish coat on it, and that would satisfy what Randy said. And then down through here, it likes a finish coat too, doesn't it, Randy, down through there?
Yep, that does.
Put the finish coat down to here, of course, this has got to be built to there.
So down to the hammerhead is what you're saying?
And then from here, where the road stops right there, if you'll grant us a 6-foot variance on the road, that'll be built per standard.
Okay.
And I mean, that would satisfy all the concerns except the width, but everything would then conform to what is already there.
Eddie.
Okay.
You know better.
Well, I just want to make sure that Randy.
I'm watching him.
You know.
Yeah.
No. Is he going like this?
Yeah.
Or is he going like this?
We'll ask him in a minute and see what his thoughts are on that.
I think that addresses Randy's situation. And one of the questions here that they had there about that dirt bank, you know, the people own there to the yellow line, and you can't get on their property to do anything. The way the road's graded out there, where the storm boxes are, you would have the curb, the box, then there's a flat area that goes to the dirt bank. That's to catch any slough that comes off, and it's in grass and brush right now. These people, if they will look at their restrictive covenants to the subdivision, it does say in there that they are to form a homeowners association, hold annual meetings, and to set that up to protect them to get a reserve to help work on roads and do maintenance in the subdivision, and that is filed. It's just that I think a lot of it is with the bank repossessing the property, and there was a few homes in there when that happened. There was a few built just a little later where individuals bought 4 or 5 lots from the bank and built some homes, and then another guy come in and done this till it's been hodgepodge, till they may not know what rights they've got there. But if they will look, and they need to do that as a group and set that up to where if they have problems, they can address it as a neighborhood and not as an individual out there. And that's that, but that is a record, and they can pull that from the courthouse or have a title company do it, but that's on file. And also that restrictive covenants in their section protects them from somebody coming in there building a real small home or something that's undesirable, because there is conditions in there that's got square footages on them and other restrictions that keeps junk cars out of there and everything like that. They need to read those so they know what they are.
Okay. Did you have a comment still? Mr. Blodgett, is that right?
Blodgett.
Only thing was is we bought our house 6-7 years ago, and there was 5 or 6 houses. And part of the deal was the builder then, they said when this thing was all said and done, that they would recoat the road, you know, and it'd just be just all proper and stuff. Well, since then, you're what, number 4 builder?
Could be.
I mean, they've gone through the builders and stuff, and I mean, hell, we don't even know who's around anymore. There was like originally 5 or 6 houses there, and went there forever, and then all of a sudden there's 3 more built, and then another, and we didn't know if they went bankrupt or not. All I know is they quit building stuff. That's when the housing market kind of tanked, you know, and stuff. But like I said, when we bought the house, the builder says, yeah, when we do a few more houses here, we'll be able to finish off the street and stuff. But, you know, nothing's happened, so.
Sean.
Yes, sir.
Just wanted to make a comment. I think Mr. Wolf gave some good advice. Take a look at those CC&Rs. That developer's long gone.
Well, we realize that.
And these new developers don't have that, or the economic benefit of selling you your lots to build your road in something they never owned and
right.
You know, weren't sold. And this is off the subject, you know, matter that we are to deal with today.
But that's good advice. I think it's time well spent.
But at the same token, the trucks and the tractors and everything keeps coming down there, and they tear up the road that's already in front of us and stuff. I mean,
I understand.
And they just finally got around to putting a little patch ballast in the other day there. So
it's a difficult situation. I would agree. And really what Mr. Wolf said is the best advice. I also understand, you know, the concern about folks driving through there. I actually lived for 11 years right behind you in Hidden Meadow, and we had the same issue. But it is a public roadway, and it's open to the public.
I would stay away from putting that bridge across that creek for right now.
Yeah. So, anyway, those are legitimate concerns. However,
I understand
those aren't things that we can really deal with.
In there and stuff. They've got the boxes in there, and you know, they had a lot of that stuff in there before. But I'm sure glad I'm not down that low. So.
Yeah. I've got another question for you, Mr. Hayes, just to make sure that we're concerning. Just to make sure we're clear on the. Sorry, I got to put my glasses back on. I can't see nothing. Okay, the retaining wall question that came up, and you know, Mr. Wolf kind of addressed it, but just from your standpoint and where that lies in the topography, is there something that the developer or that the road standards cover, maybe that's a better way to put it.
The only thing the road standards, I don't think really per se cover that there is a slope requirement as far as a 2-to-1, 3-to-1 within the platted right-of-way of that roadway, depending on terrain. But when I looked at this road, of course, it's hard to tell where a lot is unless you've got a survey pin or something. And basically, as you've seen in the video, you've
right.
got a path and roughed in, but you don't really – the only guidelines you can see is where the inlet boxes or drainage boxes are. But depending on where their lot line is, it's
right.
very difficult to, you know, tell what they may need to do on their
So the road standard guidelines will be within the 50-foot, I believe it's a 50-foot in this case, 50-foot right-of-way, but the road service, we're actually talking about the road service width here, but the guidelines fall within the right-of-way and what the slope has to be.
Correct.
And that's what the developer, that's the only part they can deal with. They can't really deal with private property that's not right-of-way.
No, I believe that part, what's planned is private, and without marks there to tell, you know, where the drop-off is, how steep it is, or what they plan to do to finish it, it's very early in the construction part, so it's hard to tell what finished product is going to look like at this point. So,
okay. Any other questions for Randy? Okay. Any other questions for any of our folks that spoke? Okay. Mark.
There's been a request to do this as two votes, but yet they paid one fee for a variance.
That is true.
So is it our determination as a board if we want to handle this as two votes or one vote?
That's my feeling, is it's really the board's discretion.
I don't have any problem with doing either. I just
Yeah, good question. That's a very good question. He's often taking care of me. I can't, if you didn't sign up to speak, I'm sorry, I can't. Anything else?
Again, the two issues were road thickness and width. Is that what you're calling two separate?
Well, no, there were two different, two parts of the phase.
Okay. I think
right.
I could deal with it in one issue.
I think we could now.
Because I feel strongly that one thing
It's okay
to go,
yeah.
And one
right.
thing just
I'm
needs
with
to stay.
I'm with
it really could be dealt with as one issue at this point.
You want to go back to those staff recommendations?
Sorry. Went too far.
Okay, so as it sits now, it's talk about the 6-foot roadway variance.
And are we
really the thing that we're talking about is eliminating that request, and really everything else could be handled as one request if that's the way that the board. Why don't we just handle it as one? Then we're still within them paying for one. They look the same at this point. Okay. If there's no other discussion, I will entertain a motion.
To approve variance request 2015-0007V as it is now indicated on the screen. That's a 4-item staff recommendation, not a 5.
Right.
And to put it on the record, we would be approving the width variance, but not the depth. We will require the final 2-inch overlay to be added to the road.
Okay.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Call for a roll call vote. Alan?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Sean votes yes. So that this passes. I don't know if you guys noticed, but as we did make a change, we did them as one instead of two because we took the width part out, and we felt like that was a cleaner way to do it. So that's all. That closes that portion of the public hearings.
Right.
Next item on our agenda is the minutes of May 2015. If you've had an opportunity to look at the minutes of May 2015,
I did. I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Have a motion to approve the minutes of May 2015. Do we have a second?
You do.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We've got just a little bit of business, and if you guys want to read around a second and ask a couple questions, you can. But that would be better if you're going to, yeah, we're still conducting a little bit of business. Thank you. Old and new business, update on upcoming requests.
And about the only old and new business I have, we currently have three requests for next month, so we've got a...
Man, Bob, you guys have been busy.
Pretty full agenda.
Or they've been busy, one or the other, I don't know.
Yeah, that's all I've got at this point.
I've got some old business.
Old business.
Hey, Bob, remember when they hired you and said get prepared to write that ordinance?
Yes.
You better get prepared.
That's the old business. Yeah. Get prepared to write the ordinance.
I agree. I agree.
Well, if there's no other old or new business, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. We are adjourned.